Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. I wasn't lying. I was running sixth graders. 17, 18 years old. Didn't matter. I was running sixth graders. LA, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Looking forward to tonight's show. Clinton Yates is going to join the show at 7 o'clock. He'll stick with me for an hour. So Clinton Yates and I will do a full hour together starting at 7 tonight. DeMarco Farr will be a part of the show. Rich Hammond, who is the staff editor and NFL writer from The Athletic, will also be a part of the show. So a lot of NFL questions, a lot of Major League Baseball questions. It's a Friday night. We'll try and keep it loose tonight. But at the same time, man, there are some days I come in and I get ready to do this show, and it seems like there's great momentum from a sports perspective. I've said this before, and I always preface it. Sports is not the most important thing in the world. We all know that. There are so many more important things going on right now in this country and so many more important things going on around the world. I do try and reference everything back to sports. So I'm just going to use today as an example, and I'm going to start it off locally. This is a perfect example, actually. 30 UCLA football players demand protection from injustices amid pandemic. There's an article right now in the Los Angeles Times. They were the first to report it. Brady McCauley put the article out there, and I want to just kind of give some of the details. So for those who didn't get a chance to see what exactly is happening at UCLA, and this could very well not just be a UCLA thing. These are just college athletes that are worried, right? Can you blame them? Can you blame college athletes, student athletes right now who are concerned about COVID-19? This is what the 30 UCLA football players are demanding. And by the way, I don't think any of these are stretches. And this is more for me just to kind of, I want to paint the picture from a college perspective and from a student athlete perspective. They like a third-party health official to put in charge of overseeing and enforcing health and safety guidelines, and that the guidelines are clearly and publicly stated. You know, one of the things Mace was just mentioning right there, he was talking about how every school has different guidelines. Every school has different requirements. Each conference has different requirements. Okay, we can go past that. How about just across the country right now? The health protocols are different here than they are in Florida or in Texas or in Arizona. They're different everywhere. So imagine if you're a student athlete out there, and over the last couple of days, you heard that the Texas Longhorns had 13 players test positive for COVID-19. Imagine if you're a college, and it doesn't have to be just a college football player. You're just a student athlete. It could be any of the sports. It could be volleyball. It could be basketball. It's irrelevant what sport it is. Clemson football. Today, 23 cases of COVID-19 since they returned to campus 2 weeks ago, 28 if you include staff, and I think there's some other members. So that just kind of gives you an idea of what's going on with these major football programs. You know, what's interesting is, and I'll read a little bit more into this article, and I do want to point out, because there was some conversation that there wasn't trust in Chip Kelly and the quarterback for UCLA, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. So he's UCLA's quarterback. He cleared up some things on Twitter. He said, number one, no one said they didn't trust Coach Kelly. And number two, majority of players talked about these demands, but only a handful are willing to have their names publicly written. Don't let this turn into a feeding frenzy on the coach. This is about the safety of the program as a whole. So, you know, he clarified some stuff there. And I think that's important too, simply because I think these are players that are very naturally concerned about what they could be facing as we get into the fall. And college football, I'll talk NFL as well and kind of mix all these things in together. Football seems to be in the toughest position to try and figure out how to play. But for college football specifically, there is no union to represent college athletes. So who do they go to? How do they have their voice? And I think this is their idea. Their idea is let us have a third party come in, a health official that, you know, doesn't work for the school, doesn't work for the university, and can do their best to kind of determine whether somebody has COVID-19 or just the protocols are being followed properly. I get that. There's actually a good article right now. Nicole Arbach from The Athletic, that's exactly what her article is about, how a lot of these student athletes, they don't have union representation. I mean, a student athlete, yes, they're going to play college football, or they're going to play volleyball or men's basketball or soccer or something along those lines, and maybe they're doing it because this is part of their scholarship. This sport is going to pay their way through the university so that when they eventually get out of school, they don't have this huge debt and this huge loan that most students have to look at when they're done with school. And I point that out because I sympathize with some of these students. You know, at least for the pro sports, and it's not even that this justifies it for pro sports, but let me just use pro sports as an example for a quick second. Major League Baseball, whenever they figure out when they're going to get a deal done, millions and millions of dollars are going to be thrown around. Okay, yes, it's a lot less than it would have been if there were fans in the stadium. NBA, there's $1.2 billion that are on the line. There's incentives for these players financially, incentives for the coaches, for the owners, and so forth. Yes, these student athletes have some incentive, but they are taking an incredible risk. And it's not like they're coming home with a paycheck in front of them and saying, all right, let me feed the family and the kids and everything else. It is different for college athletes. So this is where we are right now. I want to kind of list off when I started the show saying that I'm deflated today. What I'm referring to there is look at all the different news we got in the last couple of days. So yesterday I mentioned Texas Longhorns, who had 13 players test positive. One thing, by the way, you know, we've been so concerned with whether the leagues were going to figure out a plan to see if they could play this year. The reality is that's not in anybody's hands at this point. So even if Major League Baseball figures this out eventually, and let's say they settle at 60 games and we all get excited on Monday because they close a deal and we're all singing Kumbaya, even if that happens, that is just becomes a small step to then figuring out if you're, you know, even going to get a chance to start your season, let alone finish your season. So Texas Longhorns yesterday, 13 players test positive. Clemson football confirmed 23 cases of COVID since their return, like I mentioned, 28 including staff. By the way, South Carolina, their rate of positive tests in the past week nearly double the national average. So you can put that obviously together with Clemson football. Phillies, 5 players and 3 staff. And it's important, you know, when I mention the locations here. So they're in Clearwater, Florida is where their facility is. The Blue Jays closed down their facility. That's in Dunedin, Florida. San Francisco Giants, that's in Scottsdale, Arizona. Tampa Bay Lightning, they closed their facility after 3 players and 2 staff test positive. So I list all those because, and I list the location, a couple of those are obviously in Florida. And we already know where the NBA is going to be played. It's going to be played in Orlando. I know we're saying, you know, it's a bubble, and that out of all the leagues and all the sports, most people feel confident that the league that has the best chance to get the season going and maybe even potentially finish it. When John said, hey, you know, talk to Michael Thompson next time you're doing a pregame show with him and, you know, joke around with him about the music that he listens to, in my mind, I was like, that's right. Are we going to get that opportunity to, you know, have these pregame shows, these postgame shows? So this is in the state of Florida, so I'll tie this back to the NBA for a quick second. They reported over 3,000 new COVID cases in the last 24 hours. I think it was actually closer to 4,000, but we'll just say that. Arizona, which is considered another hotspot, largest total cases in one day, over 3,000. So why do I point that? I point those stats out. I point them out because it's just the reality of where we are, you know, and it's the reality where we are in sports. And as we look closer and we get closer, what's the date today? We're looking at June 19th. We're not that far away from players eventually reporting to Orlando. So we're not that far away from being able to, you know, start talking about Lakers basketball and What teams are the favorites, and what's that playoff round going to look like? I know we did a little bit of it once the NBA announced it was coming back, but there's this harsh reality and just these questions that we have no idea where it goes from here. By the way, I just saw too, MLB may shut down all their spring training sites for coronavirus cleaning. That was reported by the New York Post. So I guess it comes down to this. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when players and staff will test positive. Because in these small samples that we've seen so far, it's very realistic to think that. Very realistic to think that. By the way, that's going to be the same for the NBA. We've been so focused on trying to get the leagues back that we have not spent enough time on if they'll be able to play with the virus spreading. And I think that's going to become the new conversation. I know it's not exciting. I know that, you know, when I, especially, you know, leading off the show here, it's not something that you look and you're like, oh, this is great news, Alan. Thank you for the update. But it's the reality. So I don't feel like I'm doing my job unless I, you know, point some of this stuff out. Okay, let's get the absolute latest from Major League Baseball when we come back. Plus, I do want to also hear from Brian Windhorst, who's talking about some of these COVID cases in Florida, talks about what are the NBA concerns with the coronavirus. So we'll kind of mix in a little baseball, a little NBA. Don't forget Clinton Yates coming up at 7 o'clock. LA, as always, appreciate you guys tuning in. This is The Sliva Show on 710 ESPN. All right, we are ramping up for the weekend. It'll be nice to get a couple days off. I'm sure for a lot of people out there driving around, working their butts off as always, we'll enjoy our Saturday and our Sunday. Jesse, ready for the weekend?
I have, staring at the cocktail that I intend to drink at 9:01 tonight.
What kind of cocktails? Won't be 9:01. You're doing double duty again. Shh. You're making it happen in the studio. So probably more
don't
like 10:01.
Don't tell my brain that.
Or 11:01. But still, what will you drink tonight?
You know what? Even 7:01. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking.
Is it a beer? Are you doing something harder? What are you doing? Did you get it from VSLiquor.com?
I got it from VSLiquor.com. You know it's the only place we go right now. I'm ordering from VS Liquor.
What do you think you'll do? On a Friday night, are you more of a beer guy? Are you going to do something a little bit stronger?
No, I got to go strong. Beer is like Sunday relaxing because you know you're not going to drink too much.
It's true.
Like two or three beers and like, all right, that's good. But for Friday night and get home, you just pop
up. Yeah, Friday night's different.
You know, I think I'm going to go a little fancy and just get myself a mule. Make myself a nice mule.
How good are those? Those are dangerous, by the way.
They are. That's why I love them.
You do the Kentucky mules?
Yeah, Kentucky mules.
So that's just bourbon? Oh, those are fantastic. Man, do you remember back in the days when you got to go to a bar or a restaurant and go straight to the bar and order a drink?
And it would come in like when you order a mule, it would come in like that copper can. I need to get one of those.
Those are the best, too. Keeps it nice and cold. Jess, this is you want to talk about taking everything for granted. I've taken everything for granted. I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie here. Today, getting ready for the show, and, you know, we do our prep. We're talking at noon, but I'm just looking at all the stuff. I mean, you're jotting them down for me. You're going one by one. You're like, okay, here's what happened. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. You're like, Clemson football, 23 cases of COVID. I'm like, what are you talking about? Keep going down the list. Phillies, Blue Jays, San Francisco Giants, Tampa Bay, all shutting down. I'm like, what is happening? Nothing's even really opened up yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even the full open.
No,
the NBA hasn't got that chance to obviously get to Orlando yet. And I was saying this earlier. I don't say this to try and be negative, but it's deflating too when you're trying to see, okay, we're getting a little momentum, and then you feel like you take some steps back. But that's the world that we're in right now.
Yeah, it is. And it's,
what are you going to do? Nothing you could do.
There's nothing you can do, but you know what? To all my Star Wars fans, know you just got to keep the hope.
That's a good way. That's the put your Star Wars right in there. I
saw a funny meme today that was you've seen that infomercial with, it's like the ceiling spray.
Like it's infomercial like ceiling spray.
Yes.
No.
So
not
it's some kind of spray that you kind of, it fixes holes. It's like super strong. And I saw a meme today that said every Star Wars movie when there's something is going wrong and it's the infomercial and they're slapping it on like a
That's what they gotta do. Is that the one where the guy does it on the boat and then he takes the boat out?
That one.
That guy. I don't know who that guy is, but damn, does he sell it. I'm like, I don't need that thing at all, but I might order it. Why not? Why not just have it around the house? That guy definitely sells the hell out of that infomercial. I'm forgetting what it's called.
It's like Seal or something like that. I remember ShamWow, and I forgot the one that was Billy Hayes.
Let me go to Windhorse. If I spend any more time on this infomercial that we're both going to watch tonight at 1 a.m. in the morning.
You know, we're just going to play it. Maybe during halftime, we'll talk about the best infomercials.
Find out what it's called. Just find out what it's called. Okay, let me do this. Let's go to Brian Windhorse, ESPN NBA Insider. I want to play this because all the list of different COVID cases that I'm talking about, of course, there's going to be concerns. So here's Windhorse on NBA's concerns with the coronavirus.
Well, if you just are watching the daily numbers in Orlando, it is very concerning. And while the NBA is going to have a quarantined campus there, hundreds of people are going to be living outside that quarantine and coming in, and they're going to do everything they can to, you know, contain and monitor those people. But it's still a serious concern. And then, Ryan, I think you just have to know that right now NBA players are getting tested. They all have to be tested if they're coming back by next Tuesday. If you look around at what's happening in other sports, if you look at the college athletes, if you look at the NFL teams, if you look at now five MLS teams have reported that players have tested positive, players are going to start testing positive, or staff members, almost certainly by next week. And the protocol that the NBA has put out means that if you have a positive test, whether you're showing symptoms or not, you have to be sidelined to make sure you're okay for 14 days with no exercise. So, you know, the NBA really is okay with these tests coming back positive. They want to identify who is sick. They want to get them treatment. They want to make sure the virus doesn't get into Orlando. But this is a fight that's happening on all sides. And for everything that else is going on, remember, the virus is the number one enemy, and the virus is serious, especially in Orlando.
That's a good way to put it, that the virus is the number one enemy. In baseball, you know, as much as they're trying to figure out, negotiate, and we got some updates on baseball. I'll get to it in just a second. Clinton Yates coming up at 7 o'clock. But that is the number one enemy. It is COVID-19. It's not – the players can sit back and you know, want a certain amount of games, and the owners and everybody can complain back and forth. They could do that for over a month like they've been doing. The reality is, none of it may even matter. None of it may even matter. It was reported just a little bit earlier today that the New York Post, MLB may shut down all spring training sites for coronavirus cleaning. Let me play another clip from Brian Windhorse, and then I'll get the latest on what's going on with Major League Baseball. So as much question as there is, this is how the NBA is dealing with the growing number of COVID cases in Florida specifically.
Let's not forget why we're here in the first place, the virus. And the virus is in growth mode in the Orlando area. And as you look at this protocol, there are a lot of people who are taking care of these players or in working in this campus that are not going to be within the NBA bubble, that are not going to be subjected to the same testing standards. Now, the NBA went over this ad nauseum with their epidemiologists and experts, but they still can't rule out all risk. And getting comfortable with that risk is going to be a process.
All right, that's Brian Windhorse right there. By the way, he went on, he was on Get Up, how players are excited, how they all want to play, or most of them want to play. And I believe that, too. I mean, I think there's a lot of players that are this 22 teams that got a chance to win an NBA championship. Of course, there's a number of them that are extremely excited to try and put themselves in a position or represent their city or just for their own career to win an NBA championship. But at the same time, you know, it sounds like there's going to be an incredible amount of challenges in front of the NBA as well, and all sports. Later, we could talk about some of the other sports. DeMarco Farr could talk about NFL. We'll do that. I found the name, Jess. I got the name. Got it all right here.
Well, I had it, but I was just kind of waiting.
Flex Seal and Phil Swift.
Phil Swift. Now, I'm in the original. But I feel like his name's wrong. You know what I'm talking about?
No, Billy Swift. Hayes?
Billy Hayes,
this guy's definitely Phil Swift.
But that's not who I want. I want Billy Hayes. He passed away like a couple years ago.
This was another infomercial guy?
Yeah, the very first one. The guy with the beard.
Did you ever, Did you ever buy anything from an infomercial?
No, not well. Let me say it this way: I never bought it directly from the infomercial, although I wanted to several times. But you know, when you go to like Walmart or CVS, even Target, they have the section where it's the ads.
Oh yeah,
TV.
That's right.
And oh, you best believe I bought stuff there all the
time.
My dad,
back in the days, years ago, when I was a kid. I mean, he would just get sold on things. I'm like, Dad, what's this? He's like, it's a popcorn maker. I'm like, okay, sounds good. Dad, what's this? This is a cheese grater. Like, he just would get sold on those. They are
very selling.
If it's 1 a.m. in the morning and you're kicking back, there's a very strong likelihood that for some reason that becomes more interesting. Let me read John Heyman's tweet real quick on where we are from the baseball front. I love all these because they're all so dramatic, okay? The Major League Baseball Players Association, they put out a statement. MLB has informed the association that it will not respond to our last proposal, and it will not play more than 60 games. Our executive board will convene in the near future to determine next steps. Importantly, players remain committed to getting back to work as soon as possible. Basically, the owners are saying 60 is the highest we're going to go. John Heyman, about an hour ago, said MLB players are expected to vote soon, likely by tomorrow, whether to take the 60-game framework deal Manfred and Tony Clark worked on Monday that includes expanded playoffs and other bonuses, or let Commissioner Rob Manfred set the schedule for 50 to 60 as followed, 50 to 60 games as followed by the March 26 agreement. The last thing that I want to read from Heyman, an initial small survey suggests players are unlikely to vote for the 60-game framework deal and may prefer the schedule set for 50 to 60, which allows them to file a grievance, which could be, I think the conversation was a billion-dollar grievance. Vocal players don't seem to love the 60-game deal, but could there be a silent majority liking the deal better? So that's the latest that we got on the baseball front. John Heyman, I think, also put it best, that at the end of the day, the coronavirus became a bigger issue in baseball, especially with the news out of Clearwater today. It's on everyone's mind, and a few mentioned how the season could be in jeopardy if things worsen. Five players tested positive at the Clearwater site. Many 40-man players are there. This is the part where I think from a baseball perspective, where a lot of people say they just weren't reading the room. This is what people were referring to. What they were referring to was you were still in the middle of this pandemic, that this pandemic can actually end up determining whether you're going to play your sport or you're not going to play your sport. And to be sitting around when 40 plus million people filed for unemployment over the last, you know, X amount of months, 100 days or whatever the case is, to be sitting around and kind of have this public perception. And then if you end up not even getting an opportunity to play the season, what was this all for? I think that's the thing that's going to leave a lot of people with a bad taste in their mouth. Clint Yates coming up next. He's a big, big baseball guy. So I want to spend some time with him on what the latest is on the baseball front, how he feels confidence-wise. He's got actually a great – I want to hear him talk about this. He's the co-host of a brand new show, The Intersection, which is on ESPN Radio and The Undefeated. It's a national broadcast. They do it every Friday. And he's nice enough to finish that show and then come hang out for an hour here. So greatly appreciate that. Stay right here. This is The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. LA, appreciate you tuning in on a Friday night. Whether you're out in your car listening on the ESPN app, always appreciated. Clint Yates coming up in just a few minutes here. I've said this, and this has been kind of my stance when it comes to baseball this entire time. I still think they're going to play. They're going to eventually play their season. And what I mean by that is they're going to eventually agree to playing this season. Now, will they actually get that opportunity? We'll have to wait and see. Will COVID-19 force baseball not to get the opportunity to not even start their season? That can happen. Also, what could take place is, of course, on the other side of it, you just kind of look at it from the other end. What also could take place is they finally do come to an agreement and then they're just never able to pull forward through it. Nonetheless, baseball has still not come to an agreement. It looks like it's going to be somewhere around 50 to 60 games. The question is going to be, are they going to do it because it's forced down their throat from Rob Manfred? And never agree to a deal. It seems like it's getting closer to that. What happens after that? Then that means the Players Association files a grievance. And I think that conversation has been a $1 billion grievance. Clinton Yates in the house. Clinton, what's going on, man?
Oh, long day in America, guys, but I'm okay. My blackness is intact, and I'm feeling good.
Hey, thanks. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate you doing this. So, so you just finished your brand new show, The Intersection, right? And that's on ESPN Radio and The Undefeated. Was tonight day one?
Tonight was day one. Absolutely.
All right. Tell us a little bit about it. For those that don't know about the show yet or haven't got a chance to obviously listen to the show that you guys had this evening.
So for those who don't know what The Undefeated is, it is the intersection of race, culture, and sports. And that's what we cover. And that has a very wide breadth. Breadth with a D. And so what we're trying to do is in these times, capital these, capital times, and I'm being serious here, in America, like, we've seen the confluence of not only just sort of the COVID crisis, but also the Black Lives Matter movement really coming to a head in terms of George Floyd. And everything is just kind of right there. Like, all the stuff that The Undefeated covers regularly is now come to the forefront of America from a storyline standpoint. So myself and L. Duncan, whom you know from SportsCenter, we're hosting it weekly, and it's going to be on Thursdays. And basically, we're just going to kind of open it up. So, you know, today we talked about what's the NBA really going to do about this social justice situation. You know, we also talked about Juneteenth because it happens to be Juneteenth. We also talked about member of the Anaheim Angels, Joe Adell, who spoke to The Undefeated and talked about how, you know what, black baseball players frequently scouted out of the game because the people call them raw or athletic and never really say they're skilled or smart. So, you know, we're touching on that kind of stuff because, you know, without games and so forth, there's always a deeper level to get to. And that's just kind of what we're doing at this point. And we're having fun. Don't understand that. This isn't us out here complaining about being black or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? We're just talking about our lives, explaining what it is. And as you've seen this past week in America, sometimes you got to do that to remind people what's going on.
Well, Clint, you probably have, and this is one of the, I mean, I'm, for me personally, I love having you on because I think you are, you know, so educated on so many different fronts. We could talk sports in a little bit. We'll get into it. But what's your take on just where we are right now? What I mean by that is, and I want it from your perspective, because what I could say is, okay, 4 weeks ago compared to today, I feel like there's an incredible at least amount of effort to saying there is still racism in this country. Police brutality is definitely an issue. They are targeting African Americans, not everybody, but I'm saying, you know, this is happening in our country, so let's not pretend like it's not. And then I could even go to where we're sitting right now, Jeannie Buss, if you saw her tweet, Instagram post that she put out. So the point that I'm trying to make is that constantly every day, this is something that I feel I'm learning more on a day-to-day basis, that corporations that are out there are, look, hopefully it's all with good intention and it's not just jumping on the bandwagon because it's what's happening right now. They're trying to educate and educate themselves and so forth. But just your thoughts of where we're sitting today from where we were a month ago.
So I got a column that just came out today on The Undefeated. You can go check that out. And I tweeted it with this headline. It said, "Dear white folks, please get your people." And I'm not saying that in a flippant way. I'm saying that at this stage, there are definitely things that I can point to that are big time progressive. And I don't just mean in the context of politics. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean progressive in terms of us staying safe on the globe. Number one is what the Minnesota school systems have done. They just said, department to department, yo, we're good on police. And like, the rationale was they don't make the school safer. And as it turns out, they kind of make them more unsafe in certain situations. If you think about Philando Castile, he was a school lunch guy. He was a well-liked guy in a school. And between that and everything that's happened in Minneapolis in the past, you know, couple years, it's decisions like that where it's like, yo, you didn't need a law. You didn't need some overarching decree. Mm-hmm. The people who thought it was right just said, you know what? No, thanks. We're not really messing with y'all. And that's fine. That's like the way that, to me, that's the largest indication that people are getting it. I'm not really worried, quite frankly, about eradicating racism or even really ending police brutality. And I say that in this way. That, to me, is a thing that is not going to happen in my lifetime. And that's not a defeatist outlook. It's just about the fact that there is more to it than just saying you can solve everything. And the other thing that I think about, and this is huge, I still can't believe that this is like not talked about more. NASCAR banned Confederate flags. Like, I never, ever, 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 ever thought I would see that. And just conceptually, you know, the notion that the hardest core...
That was big
image,
time.
Yeah, the hardest core image of sort of obvious racism in this country, that was the last place that you could sort of respectably go and still see one of those things. That just happened 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago. But it happened. So the reason I'm so excited about that is because it's like, yo, there are definitely things that went down where I can say that is an improvement on the human condition. But at the same time, I'm still black. So it's like, you know, the marathon ain't over. And that's kind of where I am. There's things I see that I like. I am in the hopeful mindset because of what I've seen all throughout my life, not just in the most recent rearview mirror. So, you know, listen, ain't nothing going to change as far as like, what we do to protect ourselves and, you know, the safety level that we try to purport to each other. But you can look to the sports world and you can see a couple things happening, and that makes you feel good.
No, that's actually a perfect way to put it. And I think, listen, and this morning reading the statue of former Twins owner Calvin Griffith that was removed outside of Target Field in Washington, removing Georgia Preston Marshall statue George at RFK Preston Stadium. Marshall. So, I mean, I'm seeing these, and I feel like this is happening on a – I feel all this can only be positive, and I'd be the first one to tell you, look, I need to be more educated on this stuff. You know what happens, Clinton? I'll tell you from my perspective is you look at everything from your vantage point, and I don't care, and maybe this has to do with the fact that I'm born and raised in Southern California, that this is just my norm. My norm is I don't pay attention if you're – if you're African-American or you're Hispanic or Chinese, because it's kind of this melting pot in Southern California. We see everybody, right? And so it's not like I'm just in this one group and that's it. But at the same time, it's like when a lot of these topics come up, I know that, man, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, need the proper education. And I'll be one of them. And I have no problem saying that because, yes, I know that, you know, I by no means do I ever – treat anybody different, but at the same time, I'm sure there's just a lot of history out there that I don't know, and I feel like I'm starting to learn under these circumstances.
Yeah, and as importantly, it's just to understand that in terms of the place of accountability, like, yo, you can opt out if you don't want to deal with it, because that's just kind of how it works, and that's fine. That's not a knock. It's just that, like, that's the difference between this sort of notion of, oh, I'm colorblind. No black person wants anybody to be colorblind. People want you to recognize that being black is different. Colorblind is kind of a false ideal in this unity notion and this we all got to stand together. It's like, yo, nah, dog. We ain't trying to get revenge. We just want equality. And so, like, you might have to listen to us because it really hasn't ever been done. And that's just kind of the thing, is that I think that that's actually something that's happened, which is that people believe black people now. It's like, yo, we told you. We've been telling y'all about this for years. Finally, COVID-19 sticks your butt on your couch and you got to watch it on TV every day. And I know that sounds crass, but, like, that's real. And so I think that's a big part of what this is that people are just like, you can't act like you don't know anymore, you know, and that is the biggest step as anything, I think, in America, as far as my lifetime is concerned, is that you got to take this crap seriously because people are dying in the streets, literally on TV regularly. It's terrible.
But, well, I hope, Clint, I hope that as we just kind of a month from now, 3 months from now, you keep talking about, oh, yeah, I mean, this is moving in the right direction. It's positive. But we'll wait and see. Right. Like that's not something we'll know. So we'll have to wait and see.
True. But Sliwa, I'll just say this in terms of positive communication and how things reinforce themselves in terms of the listening audience out there. I don't need to be reticent now. I need to be proactive in believing. That's a big part of this to me. We've seen some things. We can keep it moving. I'm not going to spend a lot of time worrying about what we're not going to do, because that's time we could spend focusing on what we have done and what we will do.
So I saw an article here, Brad Turner from the LA Times. He just put this out maybe 40 minutes ago. It says Clippers Lou Williams 50-50 on playing as he focuses on social justice. And I haven't got a chance to read the whole thing, but he's mentioning it was when the show had just started when this came out. But Lou Williams has definitely been one of those that has been active, has spoke. Let me read this quote real quick. Of course, the NBA is looking to return to the Walt Disney World campus on July 30th. He said, I think for us, the only benefit of us not playing is to keep the focus on the fight. And with that being said, this is in 6 weeks, so we don't know what it looks like in 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, the world may need some healing. They may need us to be on the floor, but if more black kids or more black adults or any adults that's dealing with police brutality are getting killed and we're still outraged, I don't know if it's in our best interest to suit up, because it looks like we don't care. You know what I mean? It's just a fine balance we're trying to create.
I think that's an excellently stated point from Lou, but I think that one of the things we need to caution ourselves against is acting as if every player has to speak for every other player. That's going to be one of the more interesting things we find out about the league, is that it's easy to point to the NBA and say, oh, they got a bunch of brothers, they're the woke league. But then you realize, well, you know, all black folks don't think the same. You know, and so when you really get to the next step of what actually happens, all of these opinions are valid. And I say that because a lot of times when you get into scenarios like this, people are like, well, what do the players want? What are they this? It's like, well, hold on, man. Not everybody speaks to everybody in this situation. This is not just a labor dispute. You know what I'm saying? This is a real life scenario in which if any player, in my opinion, expresses a desire to not go for any reason at all, and I'm buying it, okay. Whether it's health risk, whether it's statement wise in terms of Black Lives Matter, or frankly, whether or not it's just they don't want to do it.
Sure.
Because, hello, you played a bunch of the season. It's risky. It's going to be weird. And you'd rather spend time with your family. Like, I get it. That's a choice you are afforded when you are in the top 1% of your labor force on the globe. That is something you are afforded. So I'm not mad at any of that. Now, that being said, I don't know that I agree with Lou in this way. I don't think that staying off the court is the way that they're going to get to whatever it is that they want. Now, that being said, I don't have a problem with the idea being brought up, because they need to recognize that they have a leverage like they've never had.
Sure.
Not just the COVID stuff, because they're not playing, and not just because they're black. But what I said, it doesn't take that many people to shut down the NBA. You know, that small number, that 1% I'm talking about, you know, you got a shot to do something. So maybe you try to take a shot at something else, just because you finally have this place where your power is all consolidated. And if Kyrie and what they're talking about brings that discussion to the table for the players, that's better than not. So what comes out of it, it's not going to be monolithic. It shouldn't be monolithic. Mm-hmm. And what comes out of it in terms of what their plans and goals are, I'm not going to hold them to too high of a standard, considering you can look outside of your window and see the world has been changed. Ain't nobody got no plan, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to harp on NBA guys because they're still trying to figure it out. I think this is just a healthy step-by-step level of discussion, you know, and this is where we're going to go.
Clint, rank your sports. What's your favorite sport? Is it baseball?
No baseball question about it. Baseball is very, very good to me, yes.
Okay, baseball is your favorite sport. So let's do this when we come back. Can you please help me understand baseball? Can you help me understand what's going on? Are we ever – I feel like I've said the same thing for the past 4 weeks. Every night I've said, I think they got it, guys. I think they got it. I think everything is under control. So when we come back, let's talk some baseball. Clinton Yates, Alan Sliwa here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Clinton Yates joining the Sliwa Show.
What up?
Marco Farr coming up at 7:30. Hey, Clinton, so this is what I think I would greatly appreciate from you. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about baseball. What's happening here, man? What's
happening? Oh, Alan, come join me by the fire.
What's happening?
There was a time when we
I'm turning on the fireplace right now.
There was
the family together.
There was a time when we used to have a little thing called baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The last team we saw that championed it was the Washington Nationals. It was a glorious, glorious series in which they beat a cheating squad that couldn't even figure out one of the greatest teams of all time, even with their rickety systems banging trash cans left and right. Then we went into the offseason. And then we got to spring training. And you know what happened to spring training? They canceled the season for a pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know how I know that? Oh, because I was covering a Major League Baseball game in a stadium in Florida in the second inning when they canceled the season and, played the rest of the game happening in front of my face in a crowd full of people. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm sorry, you just canceled the season. Why are we here? Needless to say, my trust in Major League Baseball at that point in handling just the health matter alone was dissipated. So that happens. We get back to everything we got to try to figure out to get back on in the field. And the owners just won't stop using the pandemic as a bargaining chip. And you're thinking, yo, you can't do that. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic is messing everybody up. You can't act as if the reason we're not playing, the burden is on the players to make up for that. You're talking about lives, never mind careers. And after all of this chicanery regarding how they were going to, you know, distribute the money and so on and so forth, any reasonable fan can look at this and just say, the owners just don't like baseball that much. I mean, you decimate the minor leagues. You don't want to pay the major league players. Well, then I guess you don't want to watch baseball, and I guess you don't like baseball. Mm. Otherwise, what are you doing? What are you doing on a baseball team?
Well, what's crazy to me, Clint, is, and I've kind of had the same theme the last few weeks. It's like, okay, look, we know they're going to play. It's just a matter of when they're going to play. The part where I'm going to use today as a very frustrating moment, because I think today is a perfect example where you start seeing what's happening in sports. And this is where the conversation is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be how many games, what's the framework going to look like? How many games is it going to be? Are they, will they file a grievance? Like, that's not supposed to be the conversation. What happened in these last couple of days? Yesterday, Texas Longhorns, 13 players test positive. Clemson football today, 23 cases of COVID, 28 including staff. I could keep going down the list. We know, and I know you know this, MLB may shut down all spring training sites for coronavirus cleaning because the Phillies, the Blue Jays, and the Giants decided, we're going to go ahead and close down our facilities for right now. Two of those places are in Florida. I mentioned that because the NBA will obviously be in Orlando, as will MLS that's going to be, you know, coming up in the near future. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunately what the conversation is supposed to be about. Instead, today for baseball, none of that still matters. They're still doing their song and dance. They're still finding ways to, you know, complain and point the finger at each other. My issue just is, you know, talk about not being able to read the room. And listen, maybe every fan's going to come back, no problem at all. But damn, is it just a bad look.
Yeah, it's a bad look, and also because every single option that they presented was not a good one. Because shoving a 50-game season down players' throats is not necessarily that good either. Sliwa, a lot of people think that not having a season was the worst-case scenario. I don't. I think the worst-case scenario would be, number one, ticking off all the players to the point that their prorate situation is so angry that they don't want to play, and so that people don't come back.
And they might say... And they might say, Clint, okay, it's not worth it then, right? They just may say, this is not worth it. I'm going to go risk my – look at all the cases that I'm talking about. I got a family at home, all this. Okay, then I just won't play. Like, maybe that's what they're thinking, but keep going with your point.
Which affects the standard of the game, which in turn, again, as a steward of the sport, if you're an owner, you should care about. I was having lunch with a big leaguer the other day. You know what he said? He said 30 to 40% of his guys that he knew pretty well, the word he used about the season, their attitude was indifferent. And I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, dog, I mean, what do you want me to do? Like, we're going to go out there and play 50 games and probably get hurt and never be able to come back in the season? Or you catch the COVID. Or.
Yeah, that's not good.
You just don't play. You know, I mean, it's like, it's if you take all the sort of, and this is going to sound ridiculous to a lot of people, but understand me here. If you take the millions out of it and you put the principle in terms of what they're offered versus what they deserve as players, it's pretty easy to understand why somebody wouldn't do this. You know, it's just hard for people to relate to the notion that people playing baseball deserve to get paid the money they do. And that goes for fans and the owners, apparently, which is what's so sad about this, is that people don't understand. If you were drafted like 3 years ago and you were like a second and third round pick and your team didn't have you up or you're not going to make the taxi squad, you could have been a pretty good ball player and your career is over right now. Because the bigs are not playing, the roster situation is all jacked up, and guess what? The minors are banged out too. And that, to me, is what the most depressing thing is about all this. They're just messing with the fundamental structure of the entire development chain of command, not just the bigs. And it's like, oh my God, you guys don't even understand what you're doing. This is not just a hedge fund here. This is Major League Baseball. You got to have this.
And the minor leagues, that's so different than most other sports, right? Like, the minor leagues is technically the major leagues in a couple years, right? Like, that is that's how important that minor league system is. By the way, just reading a tweet here, Bob Nightingale, Major League Baseball will close all spring training sites in Arizona and in Florida for deep cleaning and will not permit players or staff members until they pass a COVID-19 test. So that's right, where we are.
This is, as I said before, when we were that situation regarding the spring training game, this has been in disarray, literally.
So that player, Clint, that you were talking about, Do you think his answer would have been different if there was 80 games? Or do you think
it
doesn't matter?
He said, well, I mean, it's not that the whole answer would have been different, but that would have affected things. 80 games affects things from a competition standpoint. It also affects things from an athletic standpoint. You can get injured and come back in a season in 80 games. Mm. If there's COVID and it's 50 games and it's all kind of weird and the playoffs are that long, so you might not make it anyway, it's like, yo, if I get hurt once, I'm not playing again this season. So why would I even try? Like, the 80-game factor is not just a competition thing. It's an interest thing from the guys who actually have to do it. You know,
right.
They still
right.
kind of like playing baseball, so they want to play enough games to make the season respectable. But if you're really only doing it just to kind of prove a point and just to jam it to the Players Association, you're hurting the game, never mind the league.
So why – but this is the part that I don't understand. And there's a lot of smart people. You know what I mean? Is it – I'll use Rob
Manfred. But how many rich people do you know? How many rich people do you
like
know? I don't know many.
Rich, that rich?
I don't know many. And by many,
just
I mean zero.
Just
but
you.
I've met a
you're
couple.
The only
that's
one. You're like, the only one I know that's got just that sizable bank account.
Well played. Well played. What I'm saying is that super rich people think two things. A, they shouldn't have to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. And B, they shouldn't have to take losses on anything either. Mm-hmm. And so... Like, if you don't like baseball and you've been operating your baseball team as basically just sort of an ATM that happens to have a ballpark in it, then this is not going to make sense to you. You can't convince these people to like baseball.
These
when
are just numbers.
Don't.
These are just numbers.
Yeah. These are numbers in the books when these people are in. I mean, that's not to say that every owner in Major League Baseball is not interested. I just think there's a large contingent of people here who literally don't want to play, which I don't actually hate. If you're going to shut down an already weird wash of a season in 2020, let's just be real, but then you're going to actually fix the CBA so that you can retool the minors so that guys can get paid the way that they need to, you know, so that you can figure things out going forward, okay, you know, I'll take the 2020 season being done. This daggone thing's already done anyway. We're halfway through July through June, and we ain't seen no baseball. Like, I'm sure it'll be weird in September, but it ain't going to be that different for the next 2 months. If nothing happens, it's just going to be the same old, we just don't have baseball. I mean, it'll be a bummer, but I'm more bummed about the College World Series and daggone Williamsport getting banged out, personally. Hmm. What I'm saying is this. None of the interests of anybody involved at the owner's side seem to be with the goal of the best interest in the game, just period. You know, and so once you take that into account, it's kind of like, all right, man, was this really something we should be doing anyway? Why don't we go ahead and pack it up and figure it out? For real, in 2021, hopefully, when we've overcome the big problem, as you said, Sliwa, which is, hello, the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just your – I know we just got a couple minutes here left. Yeah. Do you think it gets done? I mean, do you think eventually they come to an agreement and they play some – if COVID-19 obviously doesn't stop it, do you think they eventually play some type of season?
I do. I mean, if – I think they'll manage sans COVID – sorry. They're not going to manage sans COVID, just to be clear about that. But if they were to, I think that they would shove a season down their throats, and it would be a weird season. You know, it's already truncated. They got the you know the elongated playoffs. God knows they're going to be doing doubleheaders and 10th inning home run derbies, which I like. But like, I think everybody's already kind of looking at this season as a wash. And if they can get through it without a noticeable drop in either interest or competition level, okay, then you can just write it off as 2020 was weird. But if it turns into an everyday debacle where players are, you know, talking trash about the commissioner every single time there's a game, whoopah. You don't want that, you know?
By the way, that could very well happen. That could well happen. That could just be part of the everyday of, okay, here's another quote. Here's another good soundbite. And, and you know, obviously every platform is going to be playing that, so... all right, Clint. I know you've been working extra overtime. I appreciate you doing this on a Friday night. As I know, as much as you just literally got off the brand new show, The Intersection on ESPN ESPN Radio and The Undefeated. So appreciate you doing this. Thank you for doing this, and hope you have a nice weekend. All right, Clint.
Slew, appreciate it, brother. See you soon, man. Have a good.
All right, man. Sounds good. We'll do this again soon. That's Clint Yates right there. Yeah, I mean it's from a baseball perspective, and I'm going to switch gears here because I'm going to get into football. But from a baseball perspective, you got a lot of people that are kind of scratching their head trying to figure out why why we're still kind of in this position when really the conversation should be more about COVID-19. Conversation is going to be about COVID-19. That's not, you know, going to go away anytime soon. And what I mean when I say that is just merely the fact that you'll have cases and players will be affected, but baseball's still trying to figure it out. DeMarco Farr coming up next. He's a Super Bowl champion and part of our 710 ESPN Rams radio broadcast. We'll talk some NFL, get his thoughts on how the NFL kind of envisions these next couple of months. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, we're jumping around here when it comes to sports. By the way, a lot of news came out today, and a lot of it obviously on the sports front. And one of the conversations these last couple of days has definitely been on the NFL. So I'm happy to bring in DeMarco Farr, Super Bowl champion, and part of the 710 ESPN Rams radio broadcast. DeMarco, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Oh, nothing much, man. YouTube is getting me by. I'm watching, like, famous Bush League moments in baseball.
Okay, you know, that's good.
When guys thrown at and...
DeMarco, do that because you're not going to be watching baseball.
Yeah, when the bullpen's clear and both bullpens are running out to the melee together, why not just turn and get a guy right there? He's right next to you.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. DeMarco, I've spent plenty of time on YouTube myself. You know what always gets me? You know what always gets me, DeMarco?
What?
I go down rabbit holes with food. Like, people just start, people just cooking up really good food, or people just, Serge Ibaka, have you ever seen his YouTube channel that he has? And he basically brings like a player in and he cooks some like just crazy dish or whatever the case is. He's brought in Kawhi Leonard. He's brought in DeMar DeRozan, but I always get stuck with food somehow. And I'm like,
Can Serge cook?
Serge cooks very random things. So he'll cook like, it will be like the testicles of a cow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of like Fear Factor. Okay, I'm not doing that.
A little bit of that.
Okay.
A little bit
but
of that.
But I can get caught up. I can go down the rabbit hole watching like Sopranos clips.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'll be on there for like 8 hours doing that, like all day.
Nothing wrong with that. how you doing? How's everything going?
Good, good, good. If you don't watch TV and you stay off the internet and, you know, you just stay within your own bubble, then, you know, things are okay. But, you know, the world is kind of upside down right now, you know. And I think we're about to go back on lockdown again. So this is going to be interesting the second time. The first time was hard. I can only imagine what the second lockdown is going to be like.
You know, in a weird way, DeMarco, let's just, you know, kind of, and you just said it best. You said if you don't get on the internet and you don't watch TV, everything is fine. And I think you just described the absolute opposite of me, right? I'm on Twitter all day long and I'm sitting watching TV and all that stuff, and it's overload. And you can easily catch yourself just thinking like, man, I need to get away from all this. But what you just said right there about potentially, you know, a second lockdown. Yeah, how about that if that happens? I think the first time everything was so new and we were just kind of going through the motions. But now that you kind of know, and then there's also, look, there's some people that are down for it. Yeah, let's put on the mask. And then there's also other people that don't believe it. So it's like, it's a difficult thing to comprehend if you're on one end and other people are on another side.
Well, it's funny, man. I mean, God has a funny way of making you believe in something. If you don't think it's possible, then all of a sudden you have it. You know, so, I mean, look, it's out there. It's not something I want. It's not something I want for my family. So it's better to be smart and be safe and be protected than, you know, I guess to be, how can I, what's a good word for it? Too brave for your own good?
Sure.
You know? Yeah. It's just crazy. So, you know, look everybody
ignorant.
Out there, be safe. Wear a mask. It's safer to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's all I can say about it.
So, DeMarco, one of the things, and I appreciate you taking time on a Friday night to join the show, but one of the things I definitely wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, an interesting couple of days from a sports perspective, and I was just talking to Clinton Yates, and, you know, for listeners out there that are just starting to tune in right now, when I say it's interesting from a sports perspective, because we spent so much time just trying to see how we can get sports to come back. So we know NBA is going to start up in Orlando, end of July, early August. MLS is on its way. WNBA is set. NHL, Major League Baseball will eventually get there. But then this week I'm going to use as an example, Yesterday was the Texas Longhorns, 13 players test positive. Clemson football, 23 players, student athletes, are confirmed, you know, cases of COVID-19. And I could go down the list. The Phillies, the Blue Jays, and the San Francisco Giants closed down their facilities. Now, all of Major League Baseball closed down the facilities in Florida and in Arizona for a deep cleaning. I don't want to sound the bearer of bad news, but the reason why I set it up that way, I think now is where we're starting to talk about, well, wait a minute here. We spent all this time trying to figure out what sports would look like, what the structure would look like. It's not up to anybody. There's nobody that can determine whether sports is going to come back. We're in a pandemic. If COVID-19 continues the way it is, sports will definitely be in the back burner, and also we won't have it for a while.
You know, I said the same thing that Sean McVay said, I guess, recently when, you know, it's impossible to social distance and play football at the same time. You know, the sport is all about collisions. It's all about guys getting together. It's about teamwork. So I don't know how you play football or practice football or do anything related to football when you're in a pandemic situation like this. Same with basketball. I mean, that's going to be tough if they're going to put these guys in a bubble. I mean, that's going to – are they going to bring the families too? Have they talked about that? You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I'm going to read actually that quote, because for those who didn't get to hear Coach Sean McVay, he says, I mean, this is crazy. Coach Lynn, who's talking to Anthony Lynn, obviously. We're talking about some of this stuff and we're playing football. I mean, we're going to social distance, but we play football. This is really hard for me to understand all this. I don't want to be – I don't get it. I really don't. So this was part of, I think, that Hard Knocks conversation they were having for HBO, head coach of the Chargers, Anthony Lynn, and, of course, Sean McVay, coach of the Rams. I got a lot of questions.
I don't know how to do that in a sport where you get paid to close the distance on people, you know, especially from the defensive side. So, you know, I have no idea. This is we're stepping in to new ground, to new territory. But all you can do, like you do, like everyone else does, like Sean McVay is doing, is just prepare as if you're going to play. Get ready for the season. I mean, the NFL, if one thing I do know about the NFL, it kicks off through just about anything. Rain, sleet, or snow, they're going to kick off and play. So my instinct says come fall, you're going to see football. But who knows? That might get shut down. So, but you have to be prepared. There are no excuses. If you do kick off, everyone's going through the same stuff. So, you know, you have to be ready to play your best when the best is required.
It's interesting. DeMarco Farr joined in the Sliwa show, also part of our Los Angeles Rams radio broadcast. It's interesting, DeMarco, because I've got a chance to hear Dr. Anthony Fauci has complimented the NBA. He has said that he thinks that maybe they got a chance to make this happen because it's in a bubble, right? And I'm not saying that there's a blueprint out there for anybody, and I'm sure the NBA is going to have to make adjustments, and we'll see, you know, what eventually happens. But what is the plan? So does the NFL, are they just going to the mindset that we are just going to treat everything as normal until we figure out that we can't treat it as normal? Is that the vision?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have people that are working on plans, and they're trying to stay up to date with the newest and the latest information. But you have to continue to work on your craft. You have to continue as a coach to get your guys ready, to get your game plan implemented. Remember, I mean, you're going to start with a new special teams coach and a new defensive coordinator. So there's a lot of work to be done there. So you just can't take a day off because you may not kick off in September or you may not have training camp. You actually have to be prepared because it could happen. So it's just one of those things you have to do. You know, if you're slacking off as a professional athlete right now, then that's on you, because training camp could open at the end of July just like normal. And you could be in preseason early August, and then you could kick off in September for the regular season. So you've got no one to blame but yourself if you're not prepared. It's a no-excuse league. It's the pay league. That's just the way it is. But you also have to be prepared for not playing. And that could be extended on until whenever. So just like basketball, just like LeBron James, just like the NBA, you have to stay ready, sure. And be ready for if you have to play, but also be mindful. If it's not smart to do, then look, it's not about blood and guts. It's not the end of the world if you miss a season. I get it. It's going to be tough, but you know, maybe sports isn't what we need right now. Maybe we need the focus to be on social issues. Maybe the focus needs to be on, you know, this pandemic and getting people healthy and keeping this pandemic from spreading. So maybe sports isn't the answer, but if we do kick off, if they do tip off, you have to be ready as athletes. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, DeMarco, I mean, you actually kind of bring up a point. I mean, I don't think I've heard it be put that way. Maybe it's not that important. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's – it's so easy. And I'm sitting on a sports radio station. I'm talking to 710 ESPN listeners. I'm obviously spending a lot of time just around sports. But I think you make a good point. You know, sometimes things just – you could try as best as you can. If it's meant to be, it's going to happen. And if it's not, then it just won't. And I think that's part of – here's the thing. Where we sit today is going to be different than 30 days from now. From 60 days from now, from 90 days. So there's no way for anybody to try and predict anything. But, you know, we could have to prepare for that. That could be a reality in the next 2, 3, 4 months or so.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, watching First Take, watching Stephen A. Smith and Max go at it every single day and the guys they have on, you know, it's nice to where they can go in on a subject and not have to worry about last night's highlights and talk about that and then get back into something that's so important. They can spend all their time talking about something that's so important that actually does matter. It does matter in the lives of people, and not to be distracted by, you know, a great goal or a dunk or a great touchdown pass or something like that. But they can just continue on with something that actually has value. But, you know, eventually we're going to get back to sports. You know, it's a great distraction. It's entertainment. I remember after 9/11, going back and watching the players play. It was a great distraction from what was going on. I think it was needed then, but I think right now, maybe it's not needed. Maybe our attention needs to be focused on these areas right now. Maybe that's what all this is telling us.
DeMarco, what have you thought of the last couple of weeks? You know, all the different athletes that have gone out of their way, they stepped up, maybe came out of their comfort zone and are really looking at trying to be more active, raise more awareness, trying to use their platforms to use it in a more positive way, something that's truly impactful rather than maybe what they're accustomed to. And it could be, you know, their favorite music or highlights or something along those lines. What have you thought of some of the players? And you, if you want to speak specifically to some of the NFL players, that'd be great too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I rode the roller coaster with Drew Brees. You're like, oh my God, why did you say that? And then, you know, oh my God, that's a great response and that's a great apology and I get it. Let's give this guy a shot. And then every other quarterback, Matt Ryan stepping up big. I heard, you know, I'm not the biggest Baker Mayfield fan. You know, I actually, like, it's when I go watch a bullfight, I root for the bull. Same thing. You know, if he's the matador, I'm rooting for the bull. I want to see him get run over. But his comments and everyone else that's, you know, white quarterbacks speaking up about black issues, that's new. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's new. That's progress. And it just seems like it's a wave that everyone is, you know, they're actually starting to open their minds to things. Hey, look, this is what's been going on. This is why people, this is what Kaepernick did. This is why he was doing what he did. It had nothing to do with the flag. It had everything to do with what we're talking about now. And it seems like the light bulb has come on for a lot of people. Oh, I get it now. Yes, we can actually start having these uncomfortable conversations, even with my own friends. You know, I text messages or, you know, actually talking to them in person from 6 feet away. You know, if I can ever be of any help with any sort of understanding that you need, please don't hesitate to ask. Really, you know, just ask me how that makes me feel, or, you know, how does it feel for you to, you know, walk out in the middle of the night and try to go for a walk like normal people? You know, what goes through your mind? Just everything. So, you know, actually having those type of conversations has been great. It has been sobering. It gives you hope. It gives you hope for this country. It gives you hope for the world.
Yeah, DeMarco, I appreciate your insight on all this. I really do. And I think as much as I kind of sat here and we're going to have some NFL conversations, it's also kind of refreshing to hear you say, You know, obviously it's kind of a good reminder that, hey, you know what? Life will go on with or without sports. There's things in front of us right now that are obviously much more important. I appreciate you doing this on a Friday night, DeMarco, and I thank you for joining the show. All right, bud?
Anytime, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, DeMarco. Thank you, man. All right, that's DeMarco Farr right there. Got some good perspectives, I'll tell you that. Getting some great, great perspectives from the right people. And DeMarco Farr, I haven't connected with in a while, so it's good to chat with him. Okay, when we come back, I do want to spend a little bit of time. We do this this day in history. What happened today? So we got a couple that I want to get into. Also, Dr. Karida Brown, who's the Lakers director of racial equality and action. So this is something that the Lakers just created this position. They have been definitely complimented for doing this, as they should. She joined the morning show a little bit earlier today, so I want to take some time and play a couple of the clips with her. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.